Sevenland Hand. Brought to you by Good Game St. James. This is the playground.
This is the playground.
Well, it's not really, but we do have Toby G. Venus.
Hello.
He's setting up the seesaws and swing sets so we can find out why he has more footage than Bigfoot and the Abominable Snowman at Ron Jeremy's last clown dress-up party. And with a name like Toby G. Venus, we want to know how you make a video about a playground and not go to jail. pedophile joke straight off the top.
Yay.
Some say I look like one, but
we love all of our pedophiles. We actually despise all of our pedophile listeners. Go immediately and hand yourself in. Right.
Download it from jail, but we don't condone it.
Still listening as you get your
listen, but don't
as the Department of Corrections correct you. Still listen by all means and come back a good citizen.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Anyway,
voices in the room. To join me today, I have Aaron Garden Swing Graham.
Garden Swing. That's what they call me.
Yeah, it sounds dirty, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, always up for a garden swing. Swing in the garden? Swing in the garden, Aaron?
Swing in the garden, yeah.
Right. Yeah. All right, and our own Sevenland Hand cinematographer, Toby Turd in the Sandbox, G. Venus. Givenous.
Hello. Yes.
Hello.
It's great to make fun
Welcome
of your
aboard.
Guests.
Welcome aboard, Toby. Well, I've had you booked for so long. We've just been really looking forward to having you on the show.
Yeah.
Oh, it's such a welcome change.
It's great.
Matt couldn't be with us today, so Toby stepped in last minute. Gentlemen, how are we?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, excellent.
Good. Yeah, we just knocked out a bit of commentary.
Don't tell them about that. Oh, the commentary, yeah.
No. After that.
After that, we did the commentary.
That,
then we did some commentary.
No. So we're going to talk a little bit about Toby, what Toby's been up to and all that sort of stuff today. Plus a bit of neats and twos later on.
Yes.
Feedback on the, what's it called, the Jock versus Nerd International Vegas v. Perth Challenge.
I think that's what they were calling it.
It's pretty much, it's so many
From,
titles.
Cross-pod pollination with Mattingly's Ice Cream Social.
Yeah, and we'll get into Toby again.
Please, get into me. Yes.
Right. Let's enter Toby.
All right, explain yourself, Toby. Who the hell are you? why, what, where, and
oh god, when? So many questions.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm Toby.
Hello.
Hello, Aaron. Hello, Dave.
This is going to drag. No, sorry, Toby. No, you go.
I do like talking about myself.
Yeah.
I guess most, like, if everyone who listens to this goes to Good Games, which I'm sure is most of the people, I'm the guy who's been walking around pointing a camera in people's faces for the last couple of weeks or months.
Mm-hmm. Camera's been popping up more than a manic multi-nova operator.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know. I almost said supernova.
Oh, like a...
Don't forget.
No, let's not forget. Thanks. Move on.
I graduated in 2012 and went and joined the film industry.
What'd you graduate in?
Mass comms, focusing on marketing and corporate film.
Ooh.
It sounds...
Oh, is that like filming for adverts and stuff?
Yeah, so making adverts, like, or corporate films, promotional videos, stuff like that.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, it sounds a lot harder than it was. It was super easy.
Don't say that.
Say anybody wanting an easy degree out there.
You got all these listeners on the hook, like, oh... Mass comms and corporate video, and you're like, it's really easy. Like,
there's about four words. I don't even know what they mean.
Or I may have insulted everyone who's doing it and finding it hard, but that's all right. I joined the film industry for a bit. Decided that was too much work.
What did you do in the film industry? I already know the answer.
With
to
a
this.
Name like Toby G. Venus.
Yeah. So I was a art department runner for about 6 months. Mm. So I worked on a couple of big films in. That took place in Perth big movie stars, and I thought that was
Name
awesome.
Was that the Ewan McGregor one that he was filming?
No, that happened just before I joined the industry.
Oh, okay.
The first one was with Simon Pegg.
Are you talking about Son of a Gun?
No.
That was
that
me.
That was
Ewan McGregor. My wife is in that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she is. She's lead extra in a female back of the scene role with no words to say.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what extras do, generally.
We don't need Woo-hoo. To work.
Wow.
We don't need to work another day in our lives.
I can tell you extras got paid more than I did.
You've got a degree.
I know.
And it was so hard to get.
I have a degree in being an extra.
Yeah?
Why do you think I have so much money? Yeah. What? No, it's a joke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it was a Simon Pegg film, and the one after that was...
Simon Pegg.
I've forgotten his name. The guy from Rockingham?
The guy from Nick Rockingham. Frost.
Yeah, let's say that.
What?
Anyway, so...
that's Simon Pegg's friend.
So what, Rockingham WA?
Yeah.
There's a big famous person from Rockingham WA.
I really...
And he's Rolf Harris.
He's an actor? No, that's Bassendine.
Yeah, he's from Bassendine.
Also he was in Avatar. The main character in Avatar.
That guy. I know him.
Sigourney Weaver.
That blue guy.
It's completely slipped my mind.
Chris.
No.
This is
Chris.
Like the quizzes hit early.
Chris Hemsworth.
No.
That's Thor.
It's the girl from...
I think it starts with S.
It's the girl from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, it's a guy.
It's a guy.
It's a dude. Yeah. Anyway.
Zoe Saldana.
Zoe Saldana?
Zoe Saldana.
It was Zoe?
Yeah.
Yeah, Zoe Saldana from Rockingham WA.
From listening to Ice Cream Social, it's nice that they've got a guy that's like their producer, an audio guy, that's looking up stuff that they get confused about.
Oh, yeah.
That's our job.
I think that's fair.
You guys talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah. Anyway, so...
But we get confused so often.
I'm not name dropping because I was terrible at my job.
This is just a sad podcast, isn't it?
Yeah.
So far, I'm just weeping openly.
Yeah, because I'm going to make you happy.
So,
Sam Worthington.
Sam Worthington.
That's it.
High five, everyone. High five.
So that's my claim to fame. I'm done. I don't really have to do anything else with my life.
That sounds awesome.
It was cool at the time, and it was like a good thing to be able to go, I worked on a film, but I was terrible.
Why do you say you were terrible?
I'm terrible with my hands. I got kicked out of Year 8 metal work, never allowed back.
And just because you do.
I'm a nerd.
your hands are shaky.
Yeah. Surely when it comes to doing video, though, you press on and then...
No, but...
He was doing running.
Running was driving around, grabbing building materials and going building stuff, can't do.
That's a terrible job, Toby.
It was a terrible job.
But, like, you're working on films and stuff, so it's like, I guess you... If you're a runner, you work your way up the ranks eventually, but it's hard to nail.
Not my thing. So anyway, I went, you know what? I'm just going to go back to uni, try an honors year and see where that goes. Like,
sure.
With honors, you can pretty much do whatever you want, including...
Don't tell them that.
Yeah. including making films, which is what I can do. I'm an editor, mostly. So I went, well, I like games. Maybe I'll make a video documentary about games.
Mm. All right. Don't jump too far ahead.
Maybe you will.
Yeah.
I did a similar thing in my uni degree, which was write all my most important essays about magic and magic-related things, because that's what I know about, and I can sound really knowledgeable about it.
So. How awesome are arts degrees?
Yeah, it's so good, It's like, tell me what you think about this. I'm like, well, magic is this thing.
There's these cards in there, and then write down the dimensions.
That's pretty good.
Have you tried...
Just photocopy the instructions of how to play and just send that in.
Yeah. Did you try and write those and then sell them to websites just for a bit of extra cash?
Oh, no. Oh, shit. I should have tried to do that.
I think people listening right now will be like, I want to read some Aaron Graham articles on magic.
Just email me at 7landhand.com. you said you're a gamer and that's what... made you want to start doing movies about games? Like, what do you play? What's your involvement in gaming?
When I was growing up, my mom said, no, you can't have any sort of games.
You can never game.
And that just sort of drove me to want to play all of
them. Makes you want to play games, yeah.
Let me mention my degree right now, where we learned that play is one of the most important things that you do developmentally.
I learned that in my degree as well. One of my units.
Yeah. Back to Toby's... stagnant childhood.
So I played all the
games.
Can
we ask why? Are we going to go
really
deep in this interview?
I think we can.
Sad.
No games?
No games.
Parents, system. I don't know.
Did you used to do then?
Scared of technology. I went to my friend's house and played games.
Rebel.
Yeah.
What are you going to do at your friend's house? Oh, we're just going to sit and make conversations.
Yeah.
Mum.
Yeah.
Help with the cooking,
and then we will go to the park,
dust the shelves,
and fresh air. That's a thing that you like to say all the time.
Yeah. Lots of fresh air.
And you just play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 for like 17 hours straight.
Yeah. We had a he didn't have a whole bunch of stuff, but we had a Super Nintendo for most of the time, and we played Super Mario World and stuff, and that sort of made me fall in love with games.
Would be an excitement to it, wouldn't it? Because you weren't allowed to do it.
So taboo.
Yeah, it made it really special. Yeah. Whereas like nowadays I have like hundreds of free games which I can just play, which is not really making them special anymore.
It's weird, isn't it? Because like, I remember being younger and the only places I could get games were either as presents. Either as presents or like I'd get pirated versions before the internet, like torrenting
and electronic
stuff.
Sort of games.
Electronic games, is. And so when you got a new one, it was this amazing thing that you had this new game to play for months and months and months.
Yeah.
But nowadays, I'm like, I torrent something, I'm like, it's a bit shit.
It's just, so just delete it. Impress me now.
Yeah, impress me immediately.
Yeah.
And like, it just doesn't happen anymore. I just lost a little bit of this
spark. So 70s child, we didn't even get any of that until later on. I remember early games of stuff like Ludo, seriously.
Yeah.
And my grandparents would say, your great uncle used to play this. He was in the Royal Air Force. And they would wait to get, you know, the scramble thing.
Yeah.
And he was one of the mechanics or something. I don't think he was a pilot. But, you know, they used to be in all the hangars. And they would sit around for hours and hours and hours with the pilots. They'd play Ludo.
Oh, that's...
So, I'm like,
no replay value.
But I'm like, I want to play Ludo because, you know, I want to be like those guys that were running off into the Spitfires. This is awesome. Yeah. You know, they were encouraging me to play
Ludo.
Like
gaming pastimes.
Yeah. So you give us a... You've started something now, haven't you? So you've sort of combined those two worlds of gaming and cinematography.
Yeah.
And it's called The Playground?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so what's the basic rundown of what The Playground is?
The basic idea is I'm looking at three different gaming communities around Perth who don't... play online, they all always meet up and play together.
So you're looking at the more
community-based
community-based versions rather than just like gaming in general, like people who just play games at home.
You're developing more of a relationship than you would online, where you might bump into the same people every now and again but might not necessarily know who they are.
So that's pretty much it. I'm looking at Respawn, which takes place in Joondalup, and that's where a bunch of people...
Didn't it used to take place in Joondalup? Didn't the GBT just close down, didn't it?
They shut down a couple of days after I interviewed the guy.
Oh, thank God.
Thank God.
Good luck in an interview. I don't think they're there anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame.
So they...
Was that the license? That was the license place?
Yeah.
Is that what I saw? Yeah.
Yeah, I got invited to I think, the last one. I was like, I can't make it this week. I got something on.
Yeah.
And then it's not there anymore.
A bunch of people... Well, a dude basically brings all these consoles from Nintendo 64 all the way to Xbox One.
Yeah.
Brings a bunch of multiplayer games. People just rock up, play big multiplayer games like Smash Bros. And Mario Kart.
Drink beers.
And drink and have a really good time. The other group is Poke Eclectic, which is a Pokemon fan club, which have been running for quite a few years.
Is that a card game or DS game?
They're actually really... focused around competitive Pokemon battling, which is actually a thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it was until I spoke to them.
On the DS?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they...
Is that the forefront of the Pokemon world gaming is electronic rather than the card-based stuff?
Yeah, like as far as I know, the more recent Pokemon games have got a very strategic bent to them as soon as you go past the storyline.
Yeah.
So, like, kids buy it for the storyline, catch some Pokemon and whatever. But then past that, there's this really in-depth, like, strategic...
Don't say kids. I would definitely buy it for the storyline and bail before the strategy started.
This end game is just, like, grinding and, like, breeding Pokemon to get better and better stats over time. That's what I think. Yeah. So, you've got a Pokemon little farm to build the ultimate team, and then they go to this is what it is, right? Tournaments to...
Yeah, I've been listening to them talk and, like, watching them and stuff, and it's as similar as to competitive Magic as you can get with Pokemon.
Oh, like, wow. Sure.
They're really invested. They spend, rather than money, they spend a lot of time just grinding and grinding.
Yeah.
And I know Magic players do that too, but, like,
they have to put in the...
Yeah. I asked them, do any of you guys play Magic? And they're all probably slightly younger than Magic players, and they just go, well, we don't have the money.
Yeah.
But
what I do have
similar.
Is hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours.
And a parent that will let me play.
I mean, I remember when I was in year 12, like, when I didn't have anything to do, I'd be like, I'll try competitive battling. And I spent a lot of time just hatching eggs.
I watched my friend play in Sydney. He was just like on long car rides. It was just like literally his character was walking around in circles because for a new Pokemon to hatch, it's like 500 steps or something. Right. So you literally just need to walk around in circles because you know the game well enough that after 500 steps, it'll hatch.
Yeah.
You look at it. Is it good? Nah, it's shit. Okay, I've got to hatch another one.
My single goal in year 12 wasn't hatching eggs. It was trying to fertilize them. But it wasn't very successful at all.
Unsuccessful.
Yeah, yeah.
We were all trying.
We were trying. It was very, very difficult.
They've kind of moved on. They started out as a competitive battling group, but they sort of moved on into just being like a friend group as well. They're all really close. They play other games when they're not competitive battling. They just meet up and hang out. It's really cool. And then the third group is the Good Games Magic community.
Good Games. Brought to you by Seven Land. Sponsors. Go to Good Games. Play Good Games. Go. Play at Good Games.
We'll work
good
on games. That. I did marketing as well. We'll write something. You can pay me a couple of
grand. Toby will write you a better slogan.
We need some scripts written.
It's kind of weird. Like, I started playing Magic basically as soon as Good Games opened.
Toby, tell me when you started playing Magic.
I
forgot to ask that question earlier.
That's all right. When Dragon's Maze came out. Actually walked into... a pre-release, 2 out of Giant. This was my first actual tournament.
What the hell? Yeah. Why?
Oh my god,
that's crazy.
He met me and sit down.
Sealed is difficult. Two-headed giant is difficult. Two-headed giant sealed in Dragon's Maze. Quite particular difficulty there.
So that was me and Nick, who just won the modern tournament. Walked in. No knowledge about Magic. He'd played for a little bit when he was a kid, but that's about it.
Wow.
And we got absolutely destroyed.
Yeah.
This is so much fun.
Yeah.
I started coming back, started drafting, and I met people and everyone was cool. And that kind of inspired the rest of the project because I was like, well, I'm having a good time actually gaming with people in person rather than playing Halo online or something.
Yeah.
Good Game sort of inspired the whole thing. And then I was like, well, now I can make a video about Good Game, hang out here for a bit, film people that I know, and then build it on top of the other two.
And it's something you're already passionate about. Yeah. So something that compelled you to make this project was that it directly affected you. So you were involved in the community like a little bit already, but you thought it would be nice to kind of spotlight it.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it'll do like good things with Good Games. Mm-hmm. So it might build up a bit more business. It might just get people to more people go, okay, that's really cool. I'm going to start coming down. And Magic's not just about hyper competitiveness. You can just come and draft and just make friends, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's we were talking about that before, as far as to someone, Aaron and I were talking about interesting people to talk to in the gaming community. And there's certainly different sorts of types of groups of people that come, and it's really spread out now. It's not just I think if you went, I love picking on alpha males, right?
Sure.
If you went and picked up Mr. Alpha Male on the other side of town and said, what's going on at your local gaming store? He would say, just nerds everywhere, it stinks, and they're just playing something I don't understand. Mm. Yeah, and it's totally not like that at all.
I played a draft at the end of Gatecrash.
Yeah.
And that was in Tactics before you guys opened. And that's what I felt like. I felt like I identify as a nerdy kind of guy, but I didn't feel comfortable in Tactics.
This is I'm not sure if I've mentioned this on the podcast, but this is an interesting thing. But the reason that I got the job at Good Games was because I was running the drafts at Tactics and hating every minute of it. This just sounds like a slag off attempt, but really it was the community of people that were there in conjunction with the store. Not really wanting to support the community. And that's what got me into judging in the first place. I was going to these events and not really enjoying how they were run, not enjoying the people that were judging it. The people that are supposed to be at the top of the community giving everyone guidance weren't helping us really at all as new players. And so you just kind of trial by fire, this horrible environment where people just make fun of you for making mistakes and constantly mocking you for silly shit. And you're just like, I don't know what you're talking about. Why don't you teach me instead? But
it's the whole thing, the whole win is about building communities, isn't it? I think that was my thing. I would walk into a game store and see a super cool game that just had everything thematically just down for what I wanted to play. And then, so I'd immediately pick it up, not thinking about how I was going to play it or anything. I was going, this will be awesome. Mm-hmm. I'll like to spend the next 8 weeks just playing this constantly.
Yeah.
And then I would get home and realize it's 7 to 8 players. And I knew 3 people and a homeless drunk guy and a dog. And the dog wasn't into that sort of stuff.
I'm looking forward to a board game that is released that's like 3 or 4 players, plus you need one dog.
You need a dog,
you have to attach something to it and it runs around and it's like the random...
Maybe that could be the first Seven Land Hand board game.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Seven Land Hand Publishing.
Yeah. Well, we are the Nucleus of Ideas, as well as the best-looking podcast, as I'm sure you'll agree now, Toby.
All of our taglines. Mother of Dragons.
Yeah, 3 more than you needed.
First of our name. King of the Andals and the First Man.
But so the only way you're going to win with those sort of things is by building community, isn't it? And I think, you know, the more people you have and the more people that are engaging with the games, the more fun
everybody
has. And
that was my goal, and it's why I became a judge in the first place, and it's led me personally to good games and Seven Land Hand such.
Oh, sorry. I just wanted to point out, like, I don't not like tactics. Like, the Pokemon group hang out there.
They exclusively play there, right?
But the thing is, they all sort of banded online and went, okay, tactics is open, let's go and play there.
Yeah. Rather than culturing the community in the place.
When you just walk down there, you just go, it's scary.
It's just too much, yeah.
I found good games. It's open, it's got lights.
Has this amazing thing called air conditioning.
Yeah. Yeah, we should point out that, you know, because this podcast goes, you know, it's on iTunes, so there's people that listen to it everywhere. The Tactix is just another store in Perth. It's been going for a very long time. I think we've all had our gaming stuff, you know, we bought gaming stuff from there for years and years and years. So, you know, it's just, I suppose what you're talking about, Toby, is how gaming stores, not just Tactix, but other places like we've got Games World and things like that. Yeah. They'll stick things on the shelf, but don't necessarily engage with the gaming community so much. And then you have your clubs that float around in suburbs around Perth.
And they gather at town halls and community centres and stuff.
Extremely. So, you know, it's just a different vibe, I suppose. And that's maybe, is that part of what was involved in creating the documentary, was like identifying what components of the gaming community you were trying to identify and get footage of?
I wanted groups that were nice to each other and just liked having fun together.
Yeah. I think that's it. Sometimes it's hard to put your finger on, isn't it? Because you see, like, you know, girls are the easy one to identify. You know, when they come in, it's obvious, you can see them there and you can tell the difference because they're girls. And you think they're having just as much fun as everybody else. But for some reason, you know, if I go and talk to, you know, just somebody, you know, at work or anything like, hey, you should go down to the game store. You should go to Good Games on a Thursday night. Mm-hmm. I say, if you give it a fair chance, you will love it because it is fun and it's engaging and it's just something completely different you can do. And it's free. Yeah, and but they'll be like, I can't see myself doing that sometimes. You know, they're very kind of cagey about it.
Yeah,
and it's a very tangible thing to try and say, well, what is it that's breaking down those barriers? So you know, I think documentaries like what you're making is one of those things.
I just want to sort of show people that if you identify as a gamer and you spend a lot of time just at home, you might actually feel better going out and doing the same thing with real people. I think a lot of people go, I won't be accepted, or I won't have a good time because I'm an introvert. But really, you can just go. People, especially gamers, are very open most of the time.
Because you have this common thing that's connecting you. You can know nothing about another person, but you can sit down and play a game of standard or modern with them, and you're going to connect to them on that kind of level.
Yeah.
Like when you play against people that don't even speak the same language as you, but like I've played players in Singapore and Malaysia and stuff who don't speak a word of English. But you laugh about stuff that happens in the game because it's funny, you know, mechanics. Like, you know, it's all numbers and abilities and words. So that translates across languages. And the fact that it can transcend language barriers, let alone social barriers, is huge. Like it's massive.
And I don't think it's, you know, it's not like what we're... lost my way.
Getting a bit deep on Seven Land Hand tonight.
No, that's fine. We're good with deep, aren't we?
Yeah.
We go way deep.
We like show.
Yep. Yeah, no, I just totally forgot. My Red Bull ran out and you know, my brain just shut off. No, I was going to say, you said if you're at home and you identify yourself as a gamer, dot, dot, dot. But I was saying, you know, like, I think there's certain games, you know, so when I'm talking to people at work, you know, which is in a completely different world to gaming, that just go and engaging with it is just, if it's just something that you do for, you know, one night every month or something like that. Yeah. The, if you can get involved in it, you're going to socialize, you get like a narrative-based gameplay. And like you're saying, you know, you get to share a laugh and all that sort of stuff. And, it, you know, and it's relatively a cheap night out.
Like, and the fact that so many people, like, they... Oh, I don't know, anyone that doesn't own a copy of Monopoly or Pictionary or something...
Wait, you said the M-word.
I did, I'm sorry. I can't deny that everyone owns a copy of it. But, like, you get so many... Everyone has stories about these games that aren't good games.
Yeah.
If you talk about them in general. Imagine if you were playing good games, how many... Like, I have so many stories about every game that I've played. Magic being just one of thousands of games... Okay, yeah. Maybe a thousand games that I've played. But the fact that you get so many stories out of that, and everyone's got a Monopoly story, like, you know, with the family, remember that time you rolled three triple sixes in a row after that.
And it's so hard to, you know, you even just, I find myself spending a lot of time trying to describe what gateway games are. I was like, because to understand what a gateway game is, well,
you need to know what a gateway drug is.
You know what Monopoly is. And I usually say, well, you know all that shit you buy at Target, like those sort of board games. Mm-hmm. Then there's the gateway games, which are halfway between that shit you know and this other thing you have no idea about.
Yeah.
So they still don't know what a gateway game is. What's that bridge building
That's
to?
That's the first step, yeah. The bridge to gateway games.
Yeah, I end up just talking like a whole bunch of shit about
We'll have to do
narratives.
A gateway games episode at one
I
point.
I think we have been
to
doing
fully,
a lot of...
That's the category that we've been pulling from so far.
Yeah. Okay, so how's the process been on the playground anyway? What have you...
So what's actually involved? Like, what is the playground, like the actual project?
So I've been... Well, the documentaries inform a thesis or an exegesis, so 5,000 words. It's not a lot, but they. I'm taking what people say in the interviews from them and some shots that I've done and sort of going, well, this is what happens in gaming and this is in physical gaming communities and this is how it affects their members. And it's looking like it's positive, like, let's face it.
So you got a seat on Seven Land Hand tonight.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So
it's not all been a waste, Toby. you just don't know where this could take you.
Before I did the videos, I spent some time gaming online with a few people just to sort of serve as a counterpoint so I can sort of compare the two.
Yeah.
So you're kind of doing it as a counterpoint to online gaming communities, which are getting bigger and bigger and more popular, as opposed to, do you think the physical game community is dying out?
I think that they're actually getting bigger from what I've seen.
Just both getting bigger?
Yeah. So gaming's just getting... it's more accepted in culture nowadays. Like, it's becoming... It's basically a huge part of our culture now. Like, everyone's involved in gaming.
I think it's like a follow-up. You know, like when they said that when Beatles and Rolling Stones era, when they started, that was the dawn of kind of like when the teenagers or the younger kids had money to spend on music.
Yeah.
So that's when it started to grow a little bit. And I think we've come along several decades since then. And now
it's the same. Yeah.
Same crowd, but they've got, you know, the kids, you know, they've got money that they can assign to stuff and say, hey, I'm interested in gaming. That's what I'm going to go do. Mm-hmm. And as long as you don't have a mum like Toby's, you'd be fine.
She has to support me now.
Struggling student. Yeah.
So I spent some time playing games online with a few people, recorded those, so they're available on the website. And then I'm just finishing up the documentaries now.
Yeah.
Which has been a very long process. I have to keep coming back to the groups just to get more shots because with documentaries you have to film a lot. And you use like 10% of what you actually get.
You have to pick and choose.
So you're after the money shot still, is that what you're saying?
I've been going through the interviews and people keep saying stuff and I go, oh, wow, okay, I need...
I said money. He's looking for the money shot.
He's still looking for the money
shot. I'm looking for the money
shot. Thanks for backing up there.
We need a laugh track, I think.
Yeah, I know. Where's that can of laughter? All right, so not including the videos, what's the end result going to be then?
Yeah, so I've got...
You have a website as well, right?
Yeah, so I've got a website, a Facebook group where people can discuss stuff, and a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
So the videos go up there. We've got the videos of the gameplay that we did online as well, which is actually really boring, but it's, you know, it's fun. It's interesting to watch people play games that, like, and how they do it differently, especially games like Minecraft. And I've got one of a Magic Online Cube draft as well, which I don't actually know how to do very well. So that might be worth watching if you're into Magic. So you can yell at your TV, yell at your computer. And then I think I've already touched on it. All that stuff's going to go into a 5,000-word exegesis to sort of say, this is how gaming in physical communities affects their members and how it's different from just gaming online. And hopefully that will sort of kickstart a conversation to get people more involved in places like Good Games and Respawn and Poke Eclectic.
That's really good.
So as you've mentioned a few there, so where can people go find videos and participate in this project?
So the Facebook page is where all the discussion happens.
Facebook.com/
The Playground WA, or one word.
The Playground WA.
Yeah.
The Playground WA.
I'm sure you'll put it in the show notes if this has show notes.
No, I don't think we do show notes.
Okay. you could start.
I could do that.
Link on the website.
Is that The Playground?
Yes.
The Playground.
I'd love to have more people on there because another part of the research is getting people's responses of the videos, because I can't interview everyone who participates in the groups. If anyone from those groups or anyone who wants to join those groups wants to come on and watch the documentaries, they can
leave comments and stuff like
talk,
that.
Say, oh, that looks cool, or like start a smart conversation about it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Can I start a dumb conversation about it?
You can. No. That's pretty much what happens on Facebook. I think an additional finding of this is people don't talk about smart stuff on Facebook.
No. Yeah, it makes you stupider.
Yes.
But yeah, it'd be really great if people get into it that way.
It'd be awesome. Yeah.
And what else? Is there other ways that people can engage with the project?
Where's the video project going to go once that's finished?
So I'm going to post them on the Facebook page. So they'll be in the archive on that. But they're also on the YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/theplaygroundwa.
Cool. URLs. I like it.
Yes.
All right.
But Facebook's probably the best place to go to get the latest in the playground.
Sure.
Playground goss. Can you just lay the line on us one time?
Yeah,
come on. You don't want to say it.
I can't.
All right. Gosh, he backed out.
Right? Here we go. No,
he's
going to
do it.
Okay.
Right.
Here we go.
This is The Playground.
Yay!
But I would like to point out, he's done this whole project and he did voiceover work. He didn't come with Sutherland Hand. He didn't want us to do it.
Oh, no. He's waiting for the final project.
Is he? We're going to be on that one.
I'll do a wrap-up episode where you guys can just talk.
Just over the top of it. Just like, Sutherland had alternate commentary on the DVD version. So because we're like, how did we get here? What is this? I think this is The Playground.
So to finish up, we've been working with you most of this year, haven't we?
Yes.
In a side project, which is you've been
diligently working on our Sutherland Hand Super Series videos.
Yeah.
Video series. How's that been for you?
It's been a lot more work than I thought it would.
Man.
So
I was hoping for a lot more fun.
It is fun. It's actually sort of taught me a little bit about editing, which I didn't know already. So I had to learn some more stuff like multicam editing. I wasn't too good on with the current program I'm using.
Because you should see the setup, the listeners, you should see the setup that Toby has every time Super Series is wrapping up. He finishes whatever he's doing in his day, comes along with a couple of cameras, set up microphones, that sort of thing. He gets Dave to start doing life totals and stuff while he's filming from a tripod and a handheld one. So that's where all the quality camera work comes from on the YouTube videos of the qualifier finals, and then fully edits it and does it all, and then we just talk shit over the top.
Talk shit
it.
And ruin it.
Does all the titles and stuff at the bottom as well. It's a one-man project. It's really good.
Yeah,
huge effort.
I'm extremely appreciative.
I think at the
Toby.
End of the year, it's going to look like a really cool. It's going to be a really cool set, though, isn't it? It's like
eight-parter. We're probably going to have filming for the final as well in December. Yeah.
So there's a lot to it.
Provided Toby is free.
Yeah, I've actually made sure I'm free for all those things.
Awesome. The good
thing is you've set the dates out ahead of time, so I can book them off.
That would really suck if there's still the qualifiers, and then when the final's on, it's like, Toby wasn't here. Yeah.
And someone won, yeah.
But every Sunday when it's on, I rock up and cross my fingers that something like last Sunday happens and someone just gets Mana Screwed two games in a row.
Oh, don't give it away. Don't give it away.
Oh, don't say that. Don't say that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
That's fine.
Yeah, we'll probably cover it later. But yeah, if you go to in the next couple of days, so we just did the commentary for it, there'll be Super Series qualifier number 5. Will be on the Seven Land Hand and YouTube channel.
And there may or may not be Mana Screw. Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows which match we were talking about there? But anyway, if you're sick of looking at screwing on the internet for other reasons, tune in to us and we'll show you some Mana Screw.
Yay!
Yay. All right. Shall we just do a quick quiz and let Toby get out of here?
Yeah, cool. So for this week's quiz on Seven Land Hand, I've got... It feels weird being the person that comes in after the blob, honestly. I don't think it's ever me.
Don't worry, you're ready to shoulder that responsibility.
Yeah, okay,
we're a family now.
Yeah. On this week's Seven Land Hand quiz, for some unknown reason, I've done a Seven Wonders related quiz.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just do that one.
I think we did advertise that this one would be a Seven Wonders podcast.
Then we were talking about the quiz.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
Not the game.
Not the game. No. Sometime in the near future.
So I've got 5 questions. The 5th one is a tiebreaker.
Oh boy.
Because it's based on feel.
I'm very good at feeling.
Oh, okay. No, I'm not touching you.
Toby, stop feeling me.
Oh, I just did you say we're a family now?
You're not.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say I don't really want to go bald.
Yeah, he's coming in.
Sorry,
no, you're more like a distant cousin. You know, the cousin that lives out in the woods.
We're not gonna let you play games now either.
With all the other cousins, and we hear screaming from the hut. Go on.
Anyway, question number 1.
Yeah,
from the board game Seven Wonders.
Oh my god. Oh.
Which of these is not? I'm sure you can use your feel. Senses. Yeah. Which of these is not a Seven Wonders promo card?
Okay.
So they've released some promo cards for the board game Seven Wonders. Which of these is not a Seven Wonders promo card? Will Wheaton from Star Trek.
Fuck, really?
Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
A statue of a cherub boy pissing into a fountain.
Right.
Or Stevie Wonder.
Right.
I don't even know what this game is.
Which of these is not a Seven Wonders promo card? That was Will Wheaton from Star Trek, Michael Jackson, a statue of a boy pissing into a fountain, or Stevie Wonder.
Right. I've got my answer.
Mm.
Cool.
All right.
Yeah.
Question number 2.
Yeah.
Related to one of the physical ancient Seven Wonders of the Natural World. Of the, not natural world, of the ancient world.
Yeah.
The Colossus of Rhodes in Rhodes was built by which Greek sculptor?
Oh, I don't know that. Fucking hell.
Carpet.
What? Carpet.
Sofa, table, or chairs?
That's his name.
No, one of them is his name.
One of them is his name. Carpet, sofa, tables, or chairs.
Yes.
That's it. It's too easy this week, Aaron.
It's too easy this week. What?
Jeez.
Going back to the board game, Seven Wonders.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's good. Bring it down.
Which of these is not by the game designer Antoine Bowser, who designed Seven Wonders?
He's a French mathematical madman, but...
They're all mad, and madmen and mathematicians.
Yeah.
Dr. Shark. Rampage, the Space Cowboys. Chabyrinth. Chabyrinth.
Chabyrinth.
That's like labyrinth, but with a CH at the beginning and an E at the end.
Okay.
Chabyrinth. Or Queen's Park Affair.
Wow, you've got some... I've done a bit of research on Seven Wonders.
Oh, no.
And in each one of these, I can only confirm or deny one of them.
Yeah.
Okay. So which one isn't or which one is?
Which one is not?
Oh, that makes it harder, because I know which one is.
You know which one is. Okay. All right.
Crap.
Okay, I can bring some Magic the Gathering into this.
Yeah, what was the last one? Queens. Just Queens.
Queens Park Affair.
Queens Park Affair. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Okay, so there is a Magic the Gathering... This is question 4.
Question 4.
There is a Magic the Gathering card related to each of the 7 wonders of the ancient world.
Right.
Which of these is not a Magic card?
Yeah.
Okay. Hanging Gardens of Babylon is Volrath's Gardens. Is that a Magic card? Only one of these isn't one.
What are we talking... Oh, is that the first bit? Yeah. Hanging Gardens of Babylon.
I'm going to list all 7.
Oh, you're not.
And one of them isn't.
Oh, I'm already bored.
God damn it. Okay. Colossus of Akros. Come on, guys.
Colossus of Akros.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pyramids.
Jesus.
Jade statue.
Jade's statue.
Yeah. Temple of Enlightenment. Desolate Lighthouse. Mausoleum of Halicarnassus.
All right, and which, what are we doing with all of those? Now that I've got Rider's Crown.
What was the first one? Hang on.
Volrath's Gardens. Oh. Which one of these is not a magic card?
Okay.
Yeah.
which one of these is not a magic card? All right, I'm having a go. All right.
Cool. All right, sure. And now this is the tiebreaker based on feel.
Feel, yeah.
USA Today and Good Morning America,
yeah,
both voted for current, like modern seven wonders of the world.
Okay, well, so USA Today.
What do you think
and...
is one of them? USA Today and Good Morning America. Oh, keep in mind, not very smart people.
Yeah.
Their audiences voted on what they thought were the current wonders of the world.
Yeah.
Name one.
Oh, okay. name one of them. It's most likely
a person.
Okay.
Kim Kardashian is not the answer.
Oh, you actually just talked.
All right.
All right.
Fuck.
Well, at least I know that's not one.
Cool. Yeah, all right.
All right, cool. All right. Let's go. A, no, not A, that's me. This is how I write magic totals. David.
Hello.
Versus Toby.
That's you, Toby.
That's you.
That's me. Okay. Yeah.
I'll go to David first. Which of these is not a Seven Wonders promo card?
All right, I've definitely seen a Stevie Wonder promo card. So it was a 1 out of 3. I didn't think you'd make up a cherub boy pissing on or whatever. Will Wheaton sounds like gold. I think it's going to be Michael Jackson, although I think I've seen Michael Jackson, but I think I might be confusing that with Stevie Wonder. But I'm going to go Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Toby?
I said Stevie Wonder just because it's got the word wonder in it, and that would be ridiculous. But maybe not.
Unfortunately, that might be why they put him in, Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson
is correct.
Correct.
Yeah.
Cha-ching.
There's a really famous statue in Brussels of a boy pissing into a fountain called the Mannequin Piss.
Which means cherubs are pissing all over everyone's garden every time you go into a garden.
But it's super famous. Like, people take pictures with this pissing boy. Anyway,
right.
It's one of the wonders in Seven Wonders. And Will Wheaton... Yeah, anyway, yeah. He's a promo card.
Nah, I'd love to know what the answer number 2 is.
Cool. Colossus of Rhodes was built by which Greek sculptor? Carpet, sofa, table, chairs.
Okay. I've gone...
Toby's answer first.
Yeah.
Carpet.
I've gone with sofa.
You're both wrong. It was chairs.
No way. How do you spell that?
C-H-A-R-E-S.
C-H-A-R-E-S.
Chairs.
See, if you'd have pronounced it properly, cares.
Sure, David. Yeah, all right. Okay, man.
Carpet, sofa, tables, or cares? I think it's cares.
Wow.
No, right, question number 3.
Question number 3. Which of these is not an Antoine Bowser game? Dr. Shark, Rampage of the Space Cowboys, Chabarinth, or Queen's Park Affair? David.
Okay, well, I know he did Rampage, but I don't know if he did Rampage of the Space Cowboys. Chabarinth, you wouldn't invent a word like that. Queen's Park Affairs sounds raunchy, so I don't want to discredit him of making that. I'm going for Dr. Shark because I love the name.
So this is what he hasn't made, right?
Didn't
create. Yeah, so I've been to Queen's Park and no one would make a board game about
that's
it.
Good, true, yeah.
So that one.
Toby is correct. Queen's Park Affair. Yes. Not by Antoine Bowser.
Oh, it's tied well up. It's 1-1.
Unfortunately, Queen's Park Affair is a board game, though. You can have sex in Queen's Park.
You go around and take drugs and have sex.
It's a Queen's Park Affair.
Yeah.
All right. Over to Toby for number 4.
Your answer for number 4, which of these is not a magic card? I'm not going to read them out.
I put Volrath's Gardens just because I know Volrath's a character, but I thought you were trying to trick us. But
oh, yeah. Okay.
So I remembered that Dave wouldn't really know.
Yeah,
so.
I went with exactly the same logic but chose Jade Statue.
Jade Statue.
Yeah.
Okay, so each one of these corresponded to one of the seven ancient wonders.
Sure.
Volrath's Gardens, real. Colossus of Akros, real. Rhodes. I hope you guys would know that. Yeah. Pyramids.
Gaza.
Also just a card.
No, Gaza. Giza. Giza, yeah.
Pyramids is a 6-mana artifact that destroys enchantments that are only attached to lands. That's all Pyramids does.
Yeah, it's a really shitty card.
Yeah. Anyway,
Temple of Enlightenment.
Also real.
Yeah.
Desolate Lighthouse.
Bang.
Also real.
Mausoleum.
Mausoleum of Halicarnassus. Not real. Both of you guys got it wrong.
That sounds the most magic-y.
That sounds crap.
Jade statue. It's just they weren't very inventive with their names 15 years ago.
That's what I went for.
And what was the other one that you said? Volrath's Gardens, also real.
Yeah. Okay, so we're still tied gardens, up. Apparently. Still tied up at 1-1.
So tied up at 1-1. Here we go. Tiebreaker.
Tiebreaker, number 5.
I'm going to give the point to whoever has the best answer for this.
Oh, okay. You didn't say that before.
Unless one of you gets it right, obviously. Oh, okay. Okay, sure. So here we go. USA Today and Good Morning America voted for the new 7 Wonders of the World. David, what do you think was one of the
Disneyland
wonders? Okay. Yeah. Toby?
I said Perth Arena because you wonder why everything's so expensive.
Right.
That's a good answer. Okay.
That's a good.
They voted for Potala Palace in China.
All right.
The Old City of Jerusalem.
Right.
A marine national monument in Hawaii.
Oh, there you go. So I didn't think they'd get out of America. I thought they would all... yeah.
Mayan ruins. Not a particular ruins. Just anything. Ruins. The Great Migration of the Serengeti, which is when animals just move across the plains in a big herd.
So it's more like an action than a...
It's more of an action than a wonder. Yeah. The Grand Canyon.
That's
a good one.
Gotcha.
The 7th one was the internet. Sure. Thanks, Good Morning America.
Yeah. Wow. And they run out of ideas after 6 and they're just typing it in on their browser and going, what else have we got?
I'm staring at Google.
This is amazing. How are we voting for this using the internet? Whoa, oh my God.
That's so wonderful.
And the last one. The Grand Canyon was user voted online. And that's the only one that I think is legitimate.
Yeah.
The last one is the polar ice caps.
Right, so where did they get to the 6th then? That was just what the guys in the studio were just going.
So they had 7 that were voted by the people in the studio, and then the 8th one was voted by people.
That's incredible.
The polar ice caps. That's the wonder of the world. Yep. Sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, don't look forward to that list ever being read out again anywhere.
Toby wins with his Perth Arena reference.
Yeah,
I like
he does.
It.
Lovely. Yeah,
well done. 1.5
what do I
to
win?
David's 1.
Yeah.
You win a
7-land Hyper Magic Nerd Badge.
Yeah.
Which you would have gotten if you had
just for
lost.
Showing up as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in, Toby. We'll probably wrap it up from here without you because you've got to charge off.
Oh, okay.
Busy man that you are.
Busy, busy.
He's got to go home and make a video. He's got to set up the video. In his bedroom before everyone else gets home.
Yeah.
That's what he told us.
He's got to go to a lounge and take some pictures.
Leisure suit Toby.
Leisure. It doesn't have as much of a ring to it.
No.
They're still talking about this while I'm here, but I'm going to leave now.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. I'm just going to keep making innuendo while you leave. Thanks for coming in, Toby.
Yeah. Thanks.
You're awesome.
Thank you.
Okay. Back again. I feel lost now without Toby.
I know, yeah.
It's just the room feels empty.
We need a third man.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Or woman.
Or woman.
Or Stor Garrick. Oh, more on that later.
What?
Yeah. All right, so 7 Land Hand Super Series. We just finished a commentary, as mentioned, with Toby just before. So when's that was the number 5.
That was number 5, which was our last standard. Oh no, our second last standard one.
There's another standard one coming up.
The next one is sealed, actually, because it's just a bit after Khans of Tarkir comes out. That's October the 5th.
Okay.
Sunday, October the 5th.
Didn't we say limited in the video commentary?
Limited, sealed. Yeah, same thing.
Okay.
Sealed is a type of limited.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Draft is a type of limited as well.
Oh, shit.
Where you have a limited card pool.
I was always like, limited is drafting.
Oh.
Sealed is like the league. That's how my mind had separated those two things.
Limited just means a limited card pool, as opposed to standard, which is a massive fucking card pool.
So the next one is going to be... Limited.
Khans of Tarkir. Limited. Sealed.
Sealed. Yeah. Right. So people will be opening 6 packs.
6 packs of Khans of Tarkir. It's only a few weeks after release, so you've got to
start
quickly.
Looking at your spoilers
and
now.
And this is a big lead up to our PTQ, which is the last of our PTQs that will be run with the old system, where the winner just gets flights to whatever Pro Tour that they want.
Are they going
to
take that away and have it in divisional areas?
Yeah, they're going to do regional PTQs and stuff in the future, so only 3 people will qualify from the Asia Pacific region.
We should probably have a chat with Lekian about that one on the next show.
I think
And all the whole the end of the course series and all that sort of stuff.
Changes to block. I think that's a good topic for the next
one. Yeah, for sure. Maybe we'll get on with that.
Yeah.
All right, so.
But that is October the 26th.
What's October 26th?
PTQ. The PTQ. Yes.
Okay, so whoever wins that Super Series.
So, Super Series October 5th is Khan's sealed. And then following it up with a St. James PTQ.
All right. Who's the winner? Where is the winner of that one flying to?
Washington, D.C. to play in Pro Tour Fate Reforged.
Hey, if it was Las Vegas, we could go hang out with the Ice Cream Social guys.
Awesome.
Man. But I can't win.
Washington, D.C. is not... Yeah, it's pretty
District
far.
Of Columbia. It's a lot closer than where we are now.
Yeah. Definitely.
There's not a Pacific Ocean.
You could almost walk it.
There's not a Pacific Ocean between Washington and...
It depends which way you
Las
go.
Las Vegas.
If you go the long way.
Yeah. All right. So what have we learned about the Super Series? It's how many more to go?
So we've got three more spots available. We've got five people qualified so far. I'm going to try rattle them off. Ian Tan, Tabo Milton Jonas, Craig Chapman, Paul Jackson, Hayden Smith.
Yeah, well done. Well done. So we've got three more people going in
there. Three more people. One of them is the last chance qualifier. The other two are just going to be regular Super Series qualifiers.
Oh, all right. To get in on that, man. That sounds exciting.
Yeah, we've got so many prizes as well because we've had pretty big turnouts for all the qualifiers leading up to it.
Yeah. So you can see everyone's playing styles and what they've done on sevenlandhand.com on the video link on that. There's a video tab and we've got all the videos going up there. We'll have a new one soon for Super Series Qualifier 5.
Yep.
Now, there is a competition running, but we're not mentioning it that
very often. No, because I don't think we want people to be too find the answers, but we can start spreading the word I think.
You start listening to Seven Land Hand now. Keep listening because around about Christmas time, we're going to ask a question it was July, I think we launched
July,
this. About a question regarding something we've said on the show in the last 6 months. And if you win that, if you get it right, you win Stall Garrick.
You win the Garrick. You win 8-foot-tall Garrick and he can come live in your house with you.
Do you get to keep the weapon as well?
You also get to keep the weapon, yeah, that's correct.
And if you live down in Rockingham, what are you going to do?
You're going to do the same thing.
For the Rockingham store.
Oh, my God. There's two different store Garricks because there's two stores.
Two store Garricks going out. Wow, that's going to be cool. All right, so, yeah.
So we've got two of those to give away in a big competition.
So as you casually listen, just, any of this could be the question. Maybe this is the clue.
Maybe this is the clue.
Who directed, filmed, and starred in and said, "This is the playground" in the documentary The Playground?
What is his middle initial?
Yeah, what is his middle initial? Should we make fun of him now he's not here?
No, lovely.
He's a lovely guy. No, Toby is. He's good. Hi, Toby.
TGV.
He'll be listening to this, funny, because he was on it.
I'm not sure.
You don't sure? You
think I'm not sure. He seems skeptical.
Before we started doing that, he was saying, let him know how handsome I am. Remember how he said that?
Yeah, I remember him saying, so are you going to mention my face? Are you going to mention my beard and how nice it looks?
How handsome
we're like, we don't usually do that, man.
No. He said rugged, was it? Rugged? Or?
I think he wanted... Rugged was the word that
rugged,
he wanted
handsome.
Us to describe him as.
Yeah.
When he gave me... Did he give you $100
I didn't get any money, no.
Oh.
I didn't get anything. How much did you get? How much did you get?
What? Money?
Money to send?
I didn't.
You didn't, wasn't
I didn't
you?
Know what...
No. Oh. I thought, oh, man.
Anyway, Toby's really handsome. I'd say ruggedly
Would
so.
Would you prefer to see look at him straight on or in profile?
He gave me a bit of money. I'll say that much.
He gave you some money.
He gave me a little bit of money.
Do I get a taste of that?
Of what?
The money. Put that back in your pants.
Of this?
Oh, dear.
No.
We better close this podcast
Good
up.
Good God.
Right, where are we? Win Garrick.
Sure.
Win Garrick. You can win Garrick if you answer the question, whatever that's going to be. Have no ideas. What's this section in housekeeping?
So this is Neats and Twos.
Neats and Twos.
Neats and Twos.
Oh, well, hey, we've got a theme coming up here. We've got Axel. He's a writer madman from Busselton.
Axel,
he's tuning in on a regular basis.
From Busselton?
He's in Busselton.
That's practically the other side of the Pacific Ocean.
It's about the same distance from Washington to Las Vegas.
Las Vegas, sure.
That's where from we are now. Okay. Have you read this yet?
I've had a glance.
You've had a glance. Right, here we go. It's just going to be... Well, no, we
this
can discuss
Axel.
This. Yeah. Right, this is from Axel.
Does Axel game? Do you know?
He played Magic when he was a wee-un. He hasn't played it for a while.
Yeah.
And he's like a big Lovecraft fan.
Oh, cool.
So, right.
Did that inspire it? I think that inspired this question.
Well, let the listeners be the judge of that.
Okay.
All right. So what Axel is, he's got in the theme here of asking us a question, which is great, you know, it gives us something to talk about. He said, would you rather have... This is to you, Aaron, right?
Me, okay.
Would
sure.
you rather have...
I'll just close my eyes and
imagine
and picture
this.
It. Yeah.
Would you rather have a talking tumor baby growing out of your chest or no arms and legs? Now, how are you going to frame that one up? Would you rather have a tumor baby growing out of your chest Sort of like, you know, a Total Recall style.
Sure.
Wasn't there something like that happened on that?
Yeah. And an alien. Except it leapt out. It wasn't. It didn't just live there.
No. It's there permanently. And it's talking. You can have a conversation with it.
Oh, it's a baby that's talking.
It's a baby. That's freaking me out. It's got a weird little baby face. And it's going to talk.
What is its voice?
I'd like to know, and what sort of character has he got? Is he a good bloke?
If he's nice.
Yeah.
It's a talking point. Go up to a lady in a club.
Yeah.
Oh, this? This is Jeremy.
Women love babies.
My talking tumor chest baby.
Women love babies.
And she's like, hey.
How's it going, baby? Or you just keep it.
Was that the girl talking to the baby?
No, that was
the baby. How's it going, baby?
Oh, hey, baby,
hey,
I'm baby.
Hey, baby, I'm just baby.
Or if you play magic, you could just like keep a loose fitting top on and just let him sneak a look out through the buttons of your shirt.
Yeah.
And you go, what should I play here? It could be a magic genius.
Two heads better than one.
Yeah.
He could hold a second hand for you. Because I assume that the baby is a full grown baby.
Yeah, it's only a tumor baby, so it could have eight arms.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah.
It could hold many hands for you.
So you could stash a
just
whole
hold
bunch
that
of
lightning strike for when you need it and just comes out of your shirt, little hands.
Suspiciously.
Suspiciously. Like, oh, that lightning strike. Yeah. Lightning strike you. You're on three.
So that's
and then we've got to compare it to the other bit of the question.
To the other bit,
which is
no arms and legs.
Because we were looking at talking tumor baby as all positive. This seems all negative.
Arms, no arms and legs. I can't even make that. Isn't that, that's the old bad joke of what do you call a man with no arms and no legs? Matt brings
sure.
back horrifying memories.
Okay.
Anyway,
don't say that. I'll weep.
We miss Matt.
I'll weep.
So I'm definitely going for tumor baby. I think that'd be fine.
I'm going for
the tumor malignant or benign? Because you might be able to enjoy it for like a couple of months or a week.
Oh.
You might be like, here, tumor baby, you only have 24 hours to live. In which case, arms and no legs.
Then no arms and no legs, of course. But like, I guess if the tumor baby's going to kill you, then that's bad, right?
Yeah, definitely.
No arms and no legs, that's not going to kill you unless you're in a blizzard.
Yeah. How would you roll dice?
So I'm going to go with them. No arms and legs.
No arms and legs? All right, I'm having tumor
mouth.
Baby.
Roll dice with your mouth, yeah. Clearly. No arms and no legs because bionic technology is making great strides, no pun intended.
Oh, yeah. I wish I'd gone for that. Anyway, tumor baby because I'm a very lonely man. And I think it would impress the chicks.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, girls
impressed
love babies.
Is one word.
Yeah. All right. Have we got anything else? Any other things coming in? Because I got some
feedback from I think you know.
It's not, is it?
That's it, yeah.
Have you been talking to him in the
Oh my God.
In person?
No.
Did he? No.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
No.
Yes.
This is tough. This is tough listening. You mean this is the Meadax we're talking about?
Oh yes.
It's the Meadax.
It's the Meadax.
Oh man, what's that crazy bastard been up to?
He's popped his head in the store.
Yeah.
He says,
just his head.
Just his head.
Yeah, he didn't. Right, just quickly.
Rest of his body.
How's it going?
Not in the store. He said he loves his intro. He says every time it comes on, loses his shit.
He's really worried about his continence.
Yeah.
constantly pooping
himself. That's why he only popped his head in, so the rest of his body was outside.
Because he probably wasn't wearing his nappy.
While he
it was
shit
incontinence
himself.
Pads, and he was just...
He forgot them.
Diarrhea down the inside of the thighs.
So he was just full of praise for bits where we mention him on the podcast.
Yeah, I think I noticed that when I came to the store, I stepped over this steaming pile of dung, and I thought, that's not usually there.
Meadax has been here.
Meadax has been here.
Meadax is here. Meadax is here.
He's lost his shit again. Oh, man. Yeah, so that's nice. So
it's good
to see
him.
He loves
his
intro.
But no digital.
He didn't write to us.
No, not this week.
Yeah, I think I spoke to him online a little bit.
Oh,
he posted to me on Facebook, and I said, you're playing the X-Bone. And he said he's on the X-Bone as well.
Oh, he's playing X-Bone. Oh, that's good.
So
have you been on Destiny?
I just started Destiny.
Just started. I got to get it, man. I got to get it. It looks good.
Yeah.
Has it been fun?
I just played the train around.
Cool.
And didn't do anything else than that. I've been very tired.
So yeah.
Got home and went to sleep.
Yeah.
And played Destiny as I was flagging. As I was falling to the floor, I was like, that was it. I was
just vibrating gently on your chest while you fell asleep.
Oh, well, look, we've dished out a Hyper Magic Nerd Badge tonight. That's gone Toby's way.
Yep.
And I actually posted two Hyper Magic Nerds off this week to Axel and Jody, who are both down in Busselton.
Oh, excellent.
Our first postal Seven Land Hand Badge is going out.
Excellent.
So, yeah, no matter how far you live away, fire something or into the...
we'll probably send you a badge.
We'll definitely send you a badge because it's just fun writing addresses on boxes and posting
them
parcels.
Away, sending, and then throwing them into the ocean because that's how the post gets to people nowadays.
Yeah, we did that. Hey, super exciting, though.
Well, oh, I'm so excited.
This is awesome. This is if you tuned in just last week, we did a bit of magic with the Matt Mattingly's Ice Cream Social podcast and fired a few questions their way for their Jock versus Nerd section segment. And they've already done it.
They already did it. They snapped that.
We confused them with our accents. We can give that away now, mate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No need to keep that facade up.
Struth.
Jesus, mate. What's going on?
So, they were a bit confused because they said we're a Down Under podcast.
Yeah.
And they thought that it was weird that we had English accents, both of us.
I know.
So
we couldn't even find any proper Australians to do the podcast because they were doing something else.
David and I, not together, left England
separately,
and now we both live in Perth, Western Australia. Yeah. We're an Australian podcast hosted by two expat English people.
Where's Kian from?
I wrote that down here.
Parts unknown.
Kian's accent is... mangled, I think that's what that one says. Yeah.
All right, we'll have to ask him when he gets back.
Because I thought he was South African, but it's like an English...
De Vries Tunnel.
De Vries Tunnel, but he's just got a Dutch...
Got the chat on the De Vries Tunnel. But South African...
I haven't met his mum yet. She could be South African.
Yeah. But I think South Africans, there's a lot of Dutch down there.
There's a lot of Dutch there.
We're going off on a tangent now. We can't even supply facts about board games and magic. Now we're trying to do geography. Jeez. If you are from South Africa, please let us know. What's the general mix down there?
And Dutch.
Dutch.
It must be. The Boers War, man, that was in South Africa.
Yeah.
That was Dutch people.
Yeah, I don't know.
Think.
It's dangerous territory because of that whole apartheid thing.
The Boer War.
And people being really horrible to each other.
People got murdered.
Yeah, they did, didn't they? Anyway, Jock versus Nerd, that was exciting. We sent the questions over there. I think they mentioned our accents being bizarre. Do we have any other questions we need to answer from... That,
from them, they said they were preparing something for us.
They are.
To do. So,
I've spoken with them this week via the interwebs, and they are preparing some challenge type arrangement.
French podcast now.
Challenge arrangement.
Sure, yeah.
So we look forward to that. That should be good fun. We could be up for doing anything just about.
So we feature in the second half of their episode number 55 entitled Little Slutty Red Truck.
But listen to the whole thing because those guys are fucking funny.
I did enjoy it myself.
I was listening to back catalogue stuff and I think it was episode 34 or 39. And Paul does this whole bit about... You remember Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous?
Yeah.
And they've got Robin Leach. It was hosted by... I think his name is Robin Leach.
Uh-huh.
And Paul does this accent. And they were trying to guess... I mean, I'm spoiling it for you, but they started off the whole bit by just trying to... They thought, how did that guy get so rich? Because apparently he's super rich.
Mm.
And he was just doing the whole journalism thing as a bit of a side project, a bit of fun.
What?
And they invented a character that they refer to as Klepto Robin Leach. He just goes around...
Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, he's just pinching stuff.
He's just stealing stuff, and he's got all this expensive gear jammed down the front of his pants. And Paul's stuff work on that is absolute magic. So the back catalogue is great, the current catalogue is great, and we're on. We just got a little taste of that in episode 55 called "Little Slutty Red Truck." Mm-hmm. But listen to the whole thing; it's absolutely worth it. Way better than this shit you're listening to now.
Okay, sure.
No, I'm not. I can't be biased. It's good.
Those
guys are really funny.
They have a producer.
Yeah, shout out to Jacob. Yeah. All right. So what we might do is we might sneakily just play the response to our first question, our Jock question, and then what I think you guys should do is tune into their podcast to listen to their the nerd question,
mm-hmm.
which is the second half, and that was our magic question where we asked them to name some magic
creature types
that begin with the letter L.
There's one in the new set.
Is there?
Yeah.
Oh, right. It's good job you said it.
There's only the second one ever printed, so that's very exciting.
I'm sure exciting
for
is
me.
The word that everyone is using. Yeah. All right, well, stay tuned and listen to their response to our Jock question.
We have a very special Jock versus Nerd.
We do.
An Australian podcast called Seven Land Hand.
Seven Land Hand, all the way from Down Under.
Decided to question us our Jock versus Nerd segment on their actual podcast. So this week's podcast, there's a clip for us that we're going to listen to right now.
Now, from what I can ascertain about this podcast, it's very gamer-centric and a lot of Magic the Gathering talk going on, because that's a... They're talking about having mana in your hand, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Oh, very cool.
All right. Good to know.
Here is their here's the clip from Seven Land Hand.
We have something different now in the form of cross-podcast pollination. We're hoping to build a pod Voltron by asking our good friends over at Matt and Mattingly's Ice Cream Social a set of jock versus nerd questions. By good friends, I mean people we met on the internet.
Of course.
So we'll probably have to get involved in an awkward marriage. They'll probably followed by difficult visa negotiations, applications. Mm-hmm. But hey,
if that happens, then there's a job on a little red truck for us.
Right, Matt and Mattingly host a hilarious podcast twice a week. They use less knob jokes and less puns than we do. So, it's proper quality stuff.
Less puns?
Less puns. They hate puns because puns are shit. Right?
Paul.
I lean on them really heavy.
You're talking some real shit to Paul right now.
No, each podcast, Matt Donnelly, who's Penn's Sunday School MVP, all around nice guy, and resident jock. Remember that? He's the resident jock. And Paul Mattingly, who's the resident nerd. Remember that bit as well? You can see where jock versus nerd's heading, can't you? They ask each other questions from their respective specialities. That's right, guys. Nerdism is on its way up. It's a speciality now. So, for us.
It's all huge right, here in the States.
We'll be posing the jock questions, and Kian and Aaron have posed... Oh, I'll be asking the jock question, and Aaron will be asking the nerd question. So he goes... Are you ready?
I'm ready.
This is the jock question. Don't answer.
Do we get to answer it as well?
No, don't answer
it. Answer it on the podcast, but afterwards.
Afterwards, I'll let you know how it goes. Right. So, all right, here we go. This is the jock question, which will be directed at Paul. All right. I was born in a place called Morecambe, England. All right. And I never realized how ridiculous that was. My whole life, I thought, Morecambe. All I'm saying quickly is Morecambe. And I only realized that in the context of this podcast.
Morecambe Mindy.
After nearly 43 years, I just realized I was born in Morecambe.
But that joke will get you thrown off a little red truck.
Because of Morecambe.
That's true. Okay. Now, in Morecambe, said quickly, it's fine, right? In Morecambe, they have a football.
That's what lets you sleep at night.
Team.
Soccer team.
That's my Vegas accent. Mm-hmm. They have a soccer team at the top of the fourth tier of the English Football League. This year, they're absolutely smashing it. I'm very proud of them.
Nice.
Yeah, but what is their nickname? Now, the clue to this is that Morecambe is a seaside town. And I'd just like to also add, these are fully grown men playing football as seriously as possible. And
not. Surely
not. No.
Surely not.
We'll throw that over to Paul. All right, Aaron, what's the...
Pause.
What's the nerd question?
All right.
Wow.
So they have a nickname. The Morecambe...
The soccer team, it's on top of the fourth tier of the English Football League.
And the clue is something to do with a nautical theme.
Yeah, they're by the sea.
So I'm going to say their nickname is the Morecambe Starfish.
Wow. I think we both get to... I don't know the answer to this, so we both get to
guess. The Morecambe Waves. Yeah, let's guess. The Morecambe Waves, or the Morecambe Starfish, or the Morecambe Sailor Boys.
I'm going to go with Salty Cum, or Salty Surprise.
That's the Morecambe Salties?
The Seamen?
That's probably right. The Seamen.
Seamen.
It's probably right. Morecambe Seamen.
Mr. McGee over here.
I mean, Morecambe Seamen, get out of here.
The Morecambe Seamen, that's got to be it.
Or now, Jacob, you have the answers.
I have the answers.
Okay. Ooh.
Do you want? Should we? Yeah, let's answer them one at a time. So you should lay this.
So do you each have a final answer here?
Mine is the Salty Surprise. That's my final answer.
I'm gonna go for the Waves.
Yeah,
the Waves. All right.
And I think.
I don't think it's the Seamen, but I saw them on my.
Okay, you're gonna stick with Seamen. Okay.
The Morecambe Football Club players are known as. The Shrimps.
I was closer with Starfish.
Morecambe Bay potted shrimps, cooked and potted in spice butter, are a local delicacy, yet perhaps not the most intimidating club nickname.
Okay. Well, all right. So we were all wrong on the Seven Land Hand jock question.
I was right.
You knew it was the shrimp?
I just told you.
No, you did. You got it.
If this were Vegas, they would be the 99-cent jumbo shrimp.
Right. That's the Morecambe cocktails.
the salty
shrimp cocktail.
The salty surprise sauce. I guess I was thinking of nickname, like a funny nickname like that, like maybe people say on the side, but I guess that's a legit nickname of the whole town.
Look, here they come, the cum guzzlers. Here they come. Yeah. Look at those jizz wobblers.
for an Australian podcast, Paul's nickname. Their accents were all over the place. Right?
Oh, you're right. I'm all over the place with it.
No, so theirs
were even theirs too.
Yeah, I thought theirs were. I've only been to Sydney for 10 days, so my expertise. And have you gone to Australia with the little red truck?
Not with them, but I've been with another company. Yeah.
Okay. He should do radio forever, right, with that voice?
Milky smooth.
I would let you you could read me to sleep every night.
It's not creepy. The more cum shrimp.
That's it. That's your next gig. Sleep readings.
Salty cum shrimp in my mouth while I sleep.
It's a shrimp. A shrimp.
And if you're playing this clip on the... So this is Matt talking right here.
This is Paul.
Okay, and then our guest, Scott. Go ahead.
This is Scott.
Yeah. So that just in terms of so you know.
Oh, so they wanted to cut. They're probably going to cut a little segment out.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They won't like we will embed an entire show in our show.
we'll hide their whole show in our show, but they might want to actually edit, so we can do it that way. All right, go ahead. Nerd question us.
All right. That was good, wasn't it?
That was so exciting. Just doing that, like we called those guys up and said, "Hey, would you mind?" It's just doing this, they're sending it over, and they were really gracious about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot of good fun. I hope, we do many more things like this. We should still try and get a Marshall from Marshall to give us a what is up Seven Land Hand.
I think that's the floor. We can go for the ceeling of something else from him. All right,
from now we can write to him
shooting
now,
shooting through the stratosphere
and say, hey. We know we're
you
want to
leave
now.
You want to leave that limited resources gig?
Yeah. We're Scoops and Seven Land Handers.
Oh!
Jump on board. Yeah, I'm sure the quality of that alone will be enough to excite Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so next fortnight, so you've been spoiled. We've gone back to back, week to week. But we're back in a fortnight with Kian, and we'll be doing Seven Land Hand Extra.
Yeah, I think we're going to talk about new block structure.
Yep.
We're going to talk a little bit of Kanzatake because it's going to be out by then.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk a new PTQ system as well. Yeah, I think that'll be tied in with the... With
yeah,
the
see if we can get PJX in for a bit of a chat.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah. PTQ... No, not PTQ winner.
GP winner.
Did I accidentally preempt that he might win the PTQ at the end of the month?
He's
on death.
No, he's already qualified for that Pro Tour. He can't play in the PTQ.
Oh, well, yeah, get in quick. Play against... Not
yeah,
PJX.
Get in there while PJX is while PJX unable can't. To play.
I think Kian will be red hot for trying to win that. And you.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I'll give it a go. I'm going to play a shitload of Khans of Tuck.
You need
so
to do better than give it a
go. To the Pro Tour.
Better than give it a go. I'm going to come in and just want to do one of these blind one day.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Just try to get it and try and beat you or Kian.
David to top 8. Fuck's sake. David.
I don't even know what this card is.
David, I just scoop to me. I want to go to the Pro Tour. No, I'm beating you.
Throw it, man. Team Seven Land Hand.
Throw it.
Who's the giant anchor on that team? All right. Well, I think we've exhausted this. But how cool was it having... Toby come in.
Oh, it was really nice. Yeah,
that was great.
Good dude. He says he wants to come back as well. So I think we can organize that. We'll do a bit of a playground follow through.
Yeah.
Follow up. Follow, follow through.
All right. Take us out, Aaron.
All right. So thank you very much to Dr. David, as always.
You're welcome.
Gracious co-host.
Yeah, thank you very
thank
much.
You to TG Venus.
TG Venus.
TG Venus. That'll be TGV. His filmmaker name. M. Yeah. Night Shyamalan, TG Venus in TG the same Venus. Sentence.
That's a great name.
TG Venus.
Yeah.
I wish I had a good name like that.
Aaron Graham.
Kian DeVries Turnell. Really, that's a powerful name.
It is a powerful name. He's going to grow into that.
Yeah. I hope so.
Anyway. He's already 8 foot.
I mistake him for the giant Garrix.
Hey,
sometimes.
I know this is the outro and your outro, but is this a good time where we should ask listeners to maybe suggest reasons for Kian to shave his beard?
Oh, yeah.
He's not here to defend himself.
He's not. Yeah, okay, so before Kian tells us to shut up, if you find a good enough reason to make Kian shave his beard, we will push it upon him, peer pressure him enough that he will do it.
Yeah.
I think we
can. Or even if you just come up with a reason which he can, an offer he can't refuse.
Yeah.
In a non-violent, non-gangster way.
He likes foils. If you could offer him some sort of foil, maybe an insult artifact because it's got scissors on it. Yeah.
All right, sorry, back to your intro.
Anyway, so Axel's question before talking tumor baby or no arms
and
legs
great.
Made me think
Thanks,
of
Axel.
That.
quality
maybe
stuff.
Keep them coming. I've played a lot of this Would You Rather game. Okay, yeah. David, I'm going to lay one on you now. Okay, you ready?
Yeah, go, man. I'm ready.
My favorite ones are the Would You Rathers, where they're two really different ideas.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
You're not going to step all over Axel's turf now. He's got himself a niche.
Okay.
raise the bar for Axel.
Okay. Would you rather have a huge belly button... This is an outie that's 10 inches long that sways to the beat of only popular music.
No, definitely not.
Or be dead.
Oh, I think death. Definitely. I mean, I'm going to be doing that for a long time, the death thing. So it's
so
obviously
this
a
one,
hobby.
You've got to live with that for at least
another
70 years.
Yeah. So I'm going to be doing death anyway. And I'm probably going to love it because everyone I know has died, that's died is fucking stuck to it, man. They haven't come back.
Yeah, they've not been like that death gig.
I got so bored of that shit.
Would you rather have a talking tumor baby growing out of your chest or be dead?
And the tumor baby... I chose the tumor baby before.
Tumor baby's cool and he's got a voice like, you know...
Yeah, sexy voice. Yeah, you could just mime and the baby would do the voice.
It's like a ventriloquist.
Sound like Barry White. You know, you just walk into the room, you go, hey, everyone! And you go, no, that's not going down well. Okay, tumor baby, you do your stuff.
Hey, baby. How's everyone tonight?
This is the creepiest mental image I've had. This is.
And you just got to move your mouth at the same time. So you practice your script before you go and, hey, baby, what's been happening for you this week? Is that a tumor baby popping in your chest?
Is that James Brown as a baby?
Not James
out of
Brown.
Chest?
He'd be like, not to
Barry White.
Barry White.
Ooh, smooth tones.
I got the colors mixed up.
Yeah. Tumor baby. I chose tumor baby.
I choose death.
This is the two questions.
That's it.
Yeah.